Hello, friends. Welcome back to a new episode of Content Rookie. Today, no guests. It's just plain old me. So either sorry or yay about that. Today's episode is going to be maybe a little bit different from the very specific ones we normally have, because recently I've been getting a lot of messages from you, but also other people in my network asking me questions about, for example, what the difference between UX writing and copywriting is, how they can make a transition from journalism to content writing, how much SEO knowledge is necessary as a copywriter, like general questions that are similar to that. And, you know, I usually answer all the kind of questions I get, but the truth is that my answers are pretty much colored by mainly my own opinion. However, I do think there definitely is a bit of a knowledge gap there, where there's so many different terms for writing disciplines these days, and it can be really confusing for people to understand what the differences are. Like, what are you actually going to do if you're a content writer versus when you're a UX writer, for example? Or what is the difference between an editor or maybe a proofreader? So today's episode is going to talk about that, essentially. So the things I'm going to share with you today are 80% my own opinion and my own experience, since I've worked pretty much across most writing disciplines over the course of my career. And the other 20% come from the people I know who work or have worked in these disciplines and how I've talked to them about it and what they've shared. So yeah, take this with a grain of salt. It may be completely different for you or where you're working, but I really still hope that this is valuable for some of you, maybe especially the younger ones that don't know what kind of direction they want to take, that are considering becoming writers in the professional and a corporate context, or maybe the ones among you that feel like, hey, I'm not advancing in my career, like maybe I want to transition to UX writing or something like that, that are looking for answers. So that's today's episode. I hope you'll enjoy it. Thanks for listening. I'll start with copywriting. I think the title of a copywriter is pretty much a catch-all for a lot of the other writing disciplines, like, for example, content writing, even UX writing is sometimes grouped into general copywriting. So I think it's maybe the term we're most used to and a term that is used pretty widely for a lot of different things. And so I think when it comes to copywriting, when I first started out my career, I pretty much also started out as a classic copywriter. I was doing a lot of email campaigns, landing pages, general campaign copy, creative concept copy, things like that, you know, taglines. But pretty quickly, when I was working with clients, they would also group blog articles in there and more long form content, things that I would normally group more under content writing. So copywriting pretty much is a catch-all. So I think for people who are looking to get into writing and haven't started at all yet, we're kind of looking to get into the industry and maybe want to start out freelancing instead of seeking a position in the field, I think copywriting is a pretty good place to start out with. However, be aware of the fact that I know from experience, some companies that are, for example, hiring for UX writers, they will actively try to avoid copywriters or former copywriters, because in my opinion, unfortunately, some people believe that copywriting and UX writing conflict, because copywriting is often done to persuade people, to sell to people, while UX writing is pretty much the opposite of that. You're not supposed to sell. It's all about clarity. I think I've said this in one of my episodes before. I don't agree with this. I think a UX writer still works with persuasion. It's about keeping the user engaged, making it clear that the user needs to take next steps, things like that. So I definitely think former copywriters can be great UX writers if they take on the other set of skills that is needed for that discipline. But more about UX writing later. So I think the benefits for becoming a copywriter are that you really are very flexible. And if you don't know what niche to go into, if you don't know exactly what kind of tasks among writing you'll really enjoy, I think this is a good way to get started. Because while working as a copywriter, you may, for example, notice, hey, I actually mainly prefer writing longer articles. And then you can more specialize in that field and maybe, you know, transition to becoming a content writer, for example, or even an editor. Or you realize, hey, like, I really just love the creative work. So then you're maybe going to dive more into creative concepts. You might even go somewhat into art direction. So then there's a lot of opportunities there. And also, depending on one or the other, this may guide you in the decision of, do you want to work in-house? Do you want to work maybe for an agency, or do you want to freelance? So I do think there's a lot of benefits to copywriting in that sense. However, this of course comes with a big disadvantage, and that is that there are a lot of copywriters out there, and there are a lot of people that call themselves copywriters. It can be difficult for clients, for companies to determine if you're the right fit. There's probably a lot of competition for gigs. Like, I see this all the time. Someone's looking for a copywriter on LinkedIn or in some Facebook group, and within the first 3 minutes, there's hundreds of comments. So there's a lot of copywriters to choose from. So when you're first getting started, this can seem really overwhelming. I firmly believe you should always give it a fair shot and try and see if you can get some gigs and work with it. But you're going to have quite some resilience in order to not get demotivated because there is so much competition. So that's definitely something to take into account. Some other things about copywriting. In my experience, a lot of clients and companies are quite flexible to copywriters working remotely, which I think is one of the reasons why it's a pretty popular discipline amongst, for example, digital nomads. And of course, you can also be an in-house copywriter, but I do think, in my experience, that usually comes with more long-form content writing and is maybe more something like a content writer. You'll likely have to have some more SEO skills, things like that. General skills that I believe complement copywriting, really, you have to really enjoy writing. You have to be somewhat creative. But I definitely think, specifically in recent years, you also need to be able to prove your worth in regards to the numbers. So any kind of knowledge you can have that can demonstrate, hey, this campaign, I don't know, converted X amount of people, or this article got X amount of clicks compared to other articles, anything that can really put data behind your success is going to benefit you, specifically if you're pitching to clients, but also, for example, if you want to be a copywriter in the tech industry, which is generally one of the industries where copywriters are paid a bit better. These are definitely good skills to have. So I would say some kind of marketing background is valuable. And a lot of companies also like it when you have SEO skills. And this doesn't need to mean that you need to know how to do your SEO research, that you need to find your own keywords, but they will probably have keyword lists that they want you to incorporate in your writing. And the easier that feels for you and the more of the basics of SEO you understand, the more fun that's going to be for you to do. So much to copywriting. Then I already touched upon this. Another pretty frequent title you see is the title of a content writer, sometimes also called a content manager. I think it's a bit tricky to make a distinction between content writer and content manager. I would say a content manager is like a hybrid between a content writer and a project manager. The roles are often more project management focused. So besides potentially writing content, it also has a lot to do with scheduling content, distributing content, keeping parts of the website updated. So it's also a lot of maintenance and content hygiene, in my experience, could be totally different for you. While specifically a content writer should technically just be occupied with writing. However, I know friends and content writer positions that are definitely also doing the project management part and the maintenance part. So that's definitely something to take into account. I think content writers definitely need that knowledge in SEO because most clients are going to expect that. And again, it can be really beneficial if you understand some of the data behind what makes content successful. So you can basically back up your own ideas. It's going to make it easier for you to pitch things. And depending on the size of your marketing team and how different tasks are distributed, it may be useful if you have a little bit of a knack for research and some knowledge in marketing. So, for example, you could do your own persona research. You can create your own content strategy and you can schedule content according to the different content buckets you want to fill. For example, along the user journey or to satisfy specific persona needs. So I think there's definitely a benefit in having that understanding and also enjoying that kind of work that is a little bit more strategic. So for me, that's kind of content writing and content marketing. Content writing and content managing. And another benefit that I think these two do have, is that if you speak several languages, if you're bilingual, that can benefit you. A lot of the content writer or content manager positions I've seen out there are looking specifically for people that are bilingual, usually in English, and then one of the main markets that the company is operating in. At least in Europe, that's the case. I'm not sure how this looks in the US. But for me personally, in Sweden, I've gotten a lot of gigs as a content writer or content manager because I'm bilingual in English and German. And that has really benefited me because that way the company could cover several markets. So definitely something worth considering. Then let's dive into the specific title of the SEO writer. You definitely also see this around, even though it's a bit of a tricky one, because oftentimes when companies are looking for SEO writers, they're also looking for somebody that can actually manage all of their SEO efforts, which means you would need to understand how keyword research is done, how trend research is done, how to group that, how to create keyword clusters, pillar pages, things like that. So you would need to definitely understand the technical setup. Oftentimes with understanding the technical setup of SEO comes the request to, for example, drive Google campaigns. And then suddenly you're pretty deep into growth hacking marketing practices. So it's definitely something to be aware of if you really want to get into SEO writing. However, if you're really just a writer and you specialize and you niche down in SEO, there definitely is a need for that. So there's definitely still a lot of clients, a lot of companies out there that are just publishing a lot of articles that they want optimized for keywords. And if you can create those or even edit the articles they have and enter keywords into those and you're good at that, there's definitely a need and a market for that. A small thing I want to mention here, and this may just be my personal experience, but whenever I've responded to SEO writing projects in the past, and I mean, I haven't been focused on SEO writing in a while, I often was in competition with much cheaper writers because unfortunately for a skill such as SEO writing, a lot of companies still go to like freelance networks, content mills, because they often demand high volume of SEO writing and then they want to outsource that in bulk. So it can be tough to really hold your prices here and hold a stable rate. And another thing I want to mention while we're talking about SEO writing is that I feel like it's one of the writing disciplines where it's very difficult to advance as you become more senior. So it's seen as a pretty stable skill set. So it doesn't matter if you've been doing SEO writing for 2 years or for 20 years, likely the difference in the amount you can charge is going to be pretty limited. I, by the way, feel like that's pretty similar for content writers / content managers. I think if you are a very senior content manager that also maybe has some leadership experience, some management experience, that can definitely benefit you, but it's something to take into account anyway. And while I'm mentioning this for copywriters, I think it can go one of both ways. So a copywriter can be looked at a very general skill set. You're either good at it or you're not, and then your rate essentially depends on that. But I definitely think you can advance as a copywriter, specifically if you're going the in-house or agency route, where you become more senior, you maybe take on more people, you start managing a bit, you go a bit more into conceptualizing. So there definitely is an advancement path there if this is something you want to do long term. However, I think if you're a freelance copywriter, you will sooner or later, as you advance and become more senior, really struggle with your rates because a lot of companies are just used to a certain rate. That, in my experience as a copywriter, you should charge pretty early on, and then it's going to be quite difficult to increase that rate while you're freelancing since there are so many cheaper options. So definitely something worth thinking about. And the next discipline I wanted to bring up is the discipline of technical writing. I have an episode on technical writing and what it is and how it works with my dear friend James. I think it was a couple of episodes back. So do listen to that if you're interested in technical writing and exactly what it is. I think the benefit of technical writing is that there definitely is a high demand. And I do think there will always be a high demand. There are a lot of opportunities to work with this in-house, specifically, of course, in the tech industry. There are some really big corporations that are looking for in-house technical writers. There's also startups that are looking for technical writers. And at the same time, smaller companies or companies that maybe don't need a high volume of technical writing also outsource this to freelancers. So there definitely also is an opportunity for freelancers to work as technical writers. I think a bit of a problem with technical writing is that often you are quite dependent on the brief and how well, if you're working in-house or collaborating with an in-house team, how well that team works together and delivers information to you. And so it usually takes a lot from you to really push that you get the kind of documents and the kind of intel that you need to do your job. So I think there definitely is a level of project management involved here. And of course, since technical writing can be very complex, some kind of base technical knowledge is really important, and that needs to be something you enjoy. I definitely think that technical writing is one of the least creative writing disciplines. So if that's something that's important to you, definitely consider this. If that's not so big of such a big of a deal for you, then I think technical writing can be super interesting. I think the rates are pretty stable to high compared to some of the other disciplines we're talking about today. So it's definitely something worth looking into if you're interested in this kind of writing. Then I briefly just wanted to bring in the translator as kind of a writing discipline. So I worked as a translator specifically from Swedish to German, from Swedish to English, from English to German, from German to English. And I can honestly say I don't love it. And the reason for that is that I definitely have a need to, you know, write my own texts and bring in my own kind of tone of voice. And that can be very tough as a translator, because really you just need to rework the text you have to work in a different language and a different culture. So if you have a need to express your own thoughts, to get your own input heard, this is probably not the position for you. Another struggle I've personally seen amongst my translator friends, and also when I've managed other translators, is that it's very tough with competition. The rates are pretty limited in my experience. So again, it's one of those disciplines where it's difficult to advance. Like, you're either a good translator or you're not. And it doesn't matter if you have 5 years experience or 20 years experience necessarily, your rate is going to level out pretty quickly. So it's definitely something worth taking into account. However, on the other side, if you're good at what you do and you have a couple of clients, I think this is a really great and kind of easy job to do with a steady influx of work. And it's usually you can do it remotely. You can do it wherever you are. So it's great if you want to travel a lot, if you don't want to work in an office, if you kind of want to do your own thing. I've seen a lot of translators do this very successfully, and they're pretty happy and content with that. So definitely something worth considering if you speak several languages really well, you're bilingual, you're native, and you also enjoy this kind of work. Then another discipline, and again, on this one, there's an episode with my friend Kat that I think maybe episode 7? I'm not sure, but you can scroll down in the episode list and find it. She's an editor and proofreader. And so that's another writing discipline I definitely wanted to introduce today, because I think it's really interesting. And actually, specifically while I was working as a copywriter a couple of years back, a lot of the work I did was actually editing or proofreading, or a term that is also often used is washing, copy washing. And essentially what you do is that there already is a text usually written by somebody that is more in the topic. If it's, for example, as a very technical client, then they don't assume that you as the writer can just create content that is really in depth. So usually someone internally will write out content or maybe leave notes, and you edit that to make it nice and to make sure that there's a tonality and a tone of voice in that. And personally, I have really enjoyed this kind of work. I think it's super interesting to look at what somebody else has created and kind of shuffle it around a bit, change the wording a bit, and then boom, it suddenly reads really nicely, and it can almost tell a very different story depending on what you do and what your goal is. So I personally really enjoy it. I know a lot of other people really enjoy it as well. And it's definitely something, and my friend Kat also talked about this in the episode, if you don't feel very confident in your own creativity, in your own ideas, and you don't really know, like you get anxiety when somebody says, can you write an article about topic X, then this may be a way for you to get started, to really just look at other people's work, work with other people's work. You're still going to get better as a writer, and maybe also find your own style while you're doing that. So it's a bit of a different approach to writing. And for that reason, I think can be pretty interesting to a lot of people as well. Personally, I think the main disadvantage is also the benefit. So it is the fact that it's going to be difficult for you to bring in your own creativity. I do think that editing or copy washing does require like thinking on your own and coming up with solutions to, for example, this paragraph doesn't sound really nice. How can I make this more intriguing? How can I make this more engaging? But of course, it's not creative on the foundation of creating your own concept and your own pull and your own narrative, really. So that's definitely something you want to take into account. And then another thing that I've seen some of my editing friends really struggle with is that the workload definitely fluctuates. So I feel from observing that it's quite seasonal, and it can be difficult to really have a stable kind of amount of clients and amount of work. So it's something to take into account. However, if you can be both a successful editor working freelance as well as in-house, if it's for a bigger company that really needs their own editors. I actually think the opportunities for freelancing with editing skills are higher though. When it comes to rates, I don't know too much. I personally would say that there's a similar issue here that maybe translators have and SEO writers, where it pretty quickly evens out what the market rate is, and it's going to be difficult even with 20 years of experience to charge more than that. So definitely something you want to take into account when you are when you consider going into editing. Then, of course, another very popular title in the field is the title of the content marketer. I teach content marketing at Berkeley School of Communication here in Stockholm, and I see confusion with what content marketing actually is amongst my students all the time. And to be honest, it's not an easy one to answer because content marketing, again, can cover a lot of bases and can also be very specialized. Personally, having worked as a content marketer for a couple of years, I definitely think it can be beneficial to have a marketing background, not necessarily a bachelor. I personally do have a master's in marketing and it has been helpful for me, but some kind of education in marketing you're gonna have to be able to enjoy this kind of work. Because usually I think the difference between content marketing and, for example, content writing or content managing is that the client and the company will want those kind of marketing skills. So they'll want you to be able to really follow up your own efforts, put a strategy behind what you're doing, be able to reason with them and pitch that to them. They're going to want you to be able to do the writing, even though I've seen this outsourced a lot as well. So fun fact, and also important reminder, content marketing can actually mean you don't do any of your own writing. You just manage other writers and ensure that all your content buckets are filled. So it's an important thing to take into account. If it's really just the writing that you're out for, content marketing may not necessarily be the thing for you, specifically considering how much of content marketing today is actually video content and different kind of content formats that aren't writing. So definitely take that into account. In general, as a content marketer, as mentioned, you're going to be expected to have your own strategy. They're going to expect you to do some kind of project management where you have a content schedule and you create the content for that yourself, or you outsource it and then make sure it's distributed evenly. They're going to very likely want you to follow that up with your own data and your own numbers. So some kind of understanding of how you track content efforts and how well your content is doing is quite essential. You're going to want to understand Google Analytics. You're going to want to understand CRM tools, CMS tools to make sure that you can follow that up. It can be really helpful if you do your own writing and you're responsible for campaigns as well, that you have a decent amount of experience in copywriting, so you know how to create engaging copy, persuading copy. However, and here we come back to the old topic of copywriting versus UX writing, I definitely think having an understanding of user experience and with that user experience writing can also be very helpful for content marketers, because that way you can ensure that the content you put out there is actually valuable and adds to the user experience instead of disrupting it by being too salesy or too marketing focused. But there, of course, is the little fine line between you don't want it to be too salesy, you don't want it to disrupt the user experience, but you're still very likely as a content marketer going to be responsible for lead generation. So that's definitely something you want to be comfortable with, that you are going to be measured with some pretty tight, tough numbers, very likely. What kind of content are we talking when we're talking about content marketing? As mentioned, could be any kind of format, could be a blog post, could also mean hosting a webinar, creating content for a webinar. It usually involves finding thought leaders and influencers in your field that can maybe create content on your behalf. It could involve managing user-generated content. It could mean creating your own, you know, email campaigns, website campaigns, Facebook campaigns, any kind of marketing campaign. Could be even physical content like flyers, event handouts, things like that. But it could also just mean that you're the one responsible for the emails that somebody gets when they sign up on your website, maybe the follow-up emails they get if they purchase something from you. All of that could technically be your responsibility if you're a content marketer. It could even be internal communications. And I personally, in the past, have also been asked to do PR, for example. So content marketing is a pretty wide field to be in. It could mean a lot of different things. So very important that if you're interested in getting into content marketing and you're, you know, applying for positions or pitching clients, that you inquire exactly what they're looking for so you can ensure that you can cover all your bases and it's also really what you want to do. And yeah, I actually do have an episode on content marketing as well. I think it's actually the first episode ever where I go a bit more into depth on what content marketing is. And if you're interested in learning more about that, go and listen to that episode. So last but not least, and of course, I know there's other writing disciplines out there as well, but I think for today we've talked about enough of them, except for one, of course, the one that is dearest to my heart, the UX writer. And this fairly is the one I get the most questions about. And I think this is both interesting and a little bit sad because I think people really don't understand what UX writing is. And to be fair, I recognize this from my daily life as a UX writer as well, that I'm doing a lot of explaining and trying to explain how UX writing impacts the product and can impact conversions. And so yes, definitely we need to understand UX writing better and talk about what it really is. So there is an episode on UX writing. Actually, I have several episodes on UX writing. So if you want all the details, please go listen to those. But to recap it quickly for the purpose of this episode, I definitely think the big difference between a UX writer and any of these other writing disciplines is the design thinking approach. So you're gonna have to understand design principles. You're gonna have to enjoy thinking like a designer. You're gonna need to be familiar with things like the double diamond, for example. And you're gonna wanna understand strategic thinking so that you can be really good at creating your own content strategy on both a product level, a frame level, a feature level, on a lot of different levels. So it definitely involves a lot of strategic work and a lot of deep thinking. And you're gonna have to enjoy that. So what UX writing isn't is actually a lot of writing. And this is going to be sad for some of you because a lot of the people that message me, they start off, oh, I'm really passionate about writing. I love writing this. I love writing that. I enjoy writing poems. Oh, Nicole, you also write poems and you're a UX writer. So it must be awesome for writers. No. You're probably not going to do a lot of writing. It's much more like thinking through different scenarios, creating different explorations of the same, you know, feature description or the same button or the same flow, and then trying to do research and getting really close with your research team to determine which the best solution is. You're going to want to enjoy also A/B testing, and you are going to want to understand how A/B tests work and also how user research works so you can make sure that you draw the right conclusions from all the research and testing that you do. And ideally, you're also able to do your own research. So if you can, for example, create a plan or a proposal for, hey, I want to find out if the users understand this feature, how can we test this? Then that is a really good skill to have as a UX writer. I personally think that UX writing is also one of the skills where you're going to want to have higher education. I think you're going to need at least a bachelor. As mentioned, I personally also have a master's, and I definitely think that has been beneficial. However, I don't think it's super important which field you have your education in. So personally, I am an engineer, and then I also have a bachelor's from business school in business, and I have a master's in marketing, which aren't directly related to UX writing. However, I really know how to do research. I know technical stuff, and a lot of the marketing research pretty much overlaps with UX writing as well. So that has definitely helped me. But I've also seen UX writers who specifically studied content strategy. Of course, that is super valuable. I've seen a lot of journalists. I've also seen a lot of designers turn UX writers if they really enjoy getting into that part of the design process. So I wouldn't say it's limited where your background is from, but you're going to want to have some kind of level of higher education. Something that is nice about UX writing is that I think it is growing more popular to have a UX writer in-house, which I think is great and is something that more companies should do. And there definitely also is a market for freelance UX writing. However, and I've said this in some of my past episodes on UX writing, I definitely see some challenges there because UX writing really is a discipline you want to immerse in your product strategy in the long run. So bringing in a UX writer short term as a freelancer or on a limited amount of hours is probably not really going to solve the issues your product has with UX writing in the long run. So definitely something everybody who's hiring freelance UX writers, please consider this. You may be doing not so much improvement as you would like, even if you have a great freelance UX writer. If as soon as you let them go again from the project, you know, the same issues are likely going to arrive sooner or later. So definitely something to take into account. In regards to breaking into UX writing, I do think it's a bit harder to get into the industry than, for example, to become a content writer or a copywriter, just because exactly for the reasons I mentioned earlier, you're going to want to have a bit of a higher education, ideally something that is relevant for the field. Oftentimes, you're going to at least need to have to show that you also have a lot of writing experience. They're maybe going to test your project management skills, your technical skills. And another thing that I think a lot of people underestimate, UX writing is a lot of convincing other stakeholders and explaining things to other stakeholders. So that's definitely something you want to be good at. Are you good at talking? Are you confident enough to really make a point and potentially go against some of the other people? Like, I often have to go against what R&D thinks is right. I often have to go against what my designer thinks is right. So you're definitely going to have to want to enjoy that and also want to do that. And I think if you don't, UX writing can be very stressful. So that's definitely something you should take into account. And another thing that kind of comes with that is that since it is still an emerging discipline, oftentimes, if you're working in-house, but also if you're a UX writing freelancer, you're going to be the only UX writer in the company, or you're going to have a responsibility over a lot of parts of the product, and you're not really going to be working together with other UX writers. So it can at times feel very isolating and lonely, and for that reason also feel extra tough to really get your points across and get your work live and stay motivated. So that's definitely something you should consider. That does, I think, make it very different from other writing disciplines, because, you know, as a copywriter or a content writer, you can often pick up a brief from a client or from the company and you can work on it alone and then hand it in, and that's kind of the process. But as a UX writer, you are the process. So you're the one that has to also drive the actual brief. You're likely creating your own brief based on the understanding that you can make by talking to designers or developers, for example, or product managers. And then you need to get involved at every step. You have to take the responsibility for that. And then in the end, of course, you're also the only one responsible for the output, and ideally need to take responsibility for following that up. So there really are a lot of smaller and bigger tasks involved in the UX writing process. And as you heard from me talking about it, not a lot of that is writing. So please take that into account and don't think that just because I also write a lot of stuff in my free time, like articles and poetry, that means it's great to become a UX writer. Those are very different things. And my personal writing life is very different from my professional writing life. And that's kind of what I wanted to end this episode with. I hope you enjoyed this. I hope this was useful for some of you. Again, disclaimer, this is completely colored by my own experience and the experience of the people that I'm close to, that I've talked to. So definitely bias in this episode. But since so many of you do reach out and ask me for advice and thoughts on this, I really hope that this is valuable. And thank you for listening again. I hope you tune in again soon. Please continue to send me your questions and your requests for episodes. I really enjoy them. Love the kind words that I get. And please continue to share the podcast if you think this is valuable. Thank you so much for listening. This is Nicole, and see you soon.